We're doing our series continuing our series this morning in Psalm 23. And we're going to be looking at particularly the verse 3, but it's a short chapter, a good chapter. But I invite everyone this morning to look at that, Psalm 23. And if you find your place there, we'll read through this precious chapter here together. Psalm chapter 23 begins by reading, "A Psalm of David. This, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, what a precious, precious psalm this is. And let's look into the word. We're going to look at, again, verse 3 primarily this morning, that he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as we're looking through Psalm 23, we're kind of in the middle of the series and kind of just going verse by verse with it. Again, I think sometimes the most familiar of Bible passage to us, we kind of just read it, we get comfort, and we just move on. But I think there's just a richness that are in these often read passages of Scripture. And what a blessing this is. And so we are going to be talking today really about the guidance of the shepherd. That's really the overall theme of verse 3, is the guidance of the shepherd. So again, just kind of as a little bit of review. Again, last week we had the Rojas family with us. And by the way, they send their greetings to the church. They're now in a missions conference in Alabama. They're doing well. But anyways, so we kind of skipped a week, but now we're kind of right back in track for verse 3. So a little bit of a recap. So first of all, Psalm 23. Again, the title of it is a Psalm of David. And remember that these titles that you see in Scripture are actually a part of the inspired word, okay? It's a part of the Scripture. So don't just skip to what we consider the verses. So keep that in mind. So it's important that we know this is a Psalm of David, who himself was a shepherd. Remember, the first time we are introduced to David, that he is watching over his father's sheep there in the hills of Bethlehem. So keep that in mind. So this is a Psalm of David. So David, I think it's important to know too that David's experience in the sheepfolds and watching over his father's sheep, that really prepared him. I think God used that to prepare him to be the king over Israel, to be over that flock of sheep, if you will. Okay, so that ties in together. And so, again, we kind of start by looking at this as the background, the geography of this. And so this is one thing that's important to know as we are looking into Scripture. When we can, we try to look at the background, the cultural background or the geographic background of what life was like for the shepherd there in Israel. So when you're reading Psalm 23, you probably have different images that come to your mind of how this setting would have looked. So we're going to kind of go back to, I would say, the original background and setting, what David would have experienced as he is, I would say, probably towards the end of his life, reflecting on his days as a shepherd, or maybe even looking over his royal sheep, if you will. But nonetheless, the land of the shepherd was this, that in David's area, he was just, Bethlehem is about 8 miles south of Jerusalem. It's in the hill of Judea. And it looks very much like you see behind me here. It's a very rugged landscape, and we talked about last time about how God waters the desert, if you will. Remember, we talk about the the former rains and the latter rains that come in, but the rainy season generally is between November and March of every year, maybe in April. And so that is simply the time of year when it will rain, okay? And so, but in this area of Judea, and then going on towards the Dead Sea, it's just very little rainfall. But another way that God supplies it is by giving the dew. The sea breeze that comes off the coast of the Mediterranean, off the Israeli coast, comes, and the dew actually helps in bring up the new tender leaves that is there. But anyways, this is the background of the shepherd. It's a very rugged area. And so the Hebrew word for this desert or this wilderness is the word midbar. And midbar, actually, it plays in well with the tending of the sheep, okay? And so this is where a shepherd would lead a sheep. It was an unpredictable wilderness. You can imagine, you know, water and food are not always in abundant supply. And so the shepherd always had to be on move with his sheep. And you see that illustrated with a picture behind me. So like I said, it's unpredictable. But you can see how the shepherd cares for his sheep.
A good shepherd, what? He will always do what is good for the sheep. And I want us to have a quick application as we begin this message, this, that the good shepherd cares for you. If you belong to Jesus Christ today, if you're one of his, you're one of his sheep. Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 3, that we are the sheep of his pasture. With that, God as the good shepherd, he cares for you. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what struggle you're facing, God cares for you as the shepherd. What a great, great picture that is. And so in this, I want us to kind of point out this, that a lot of times our life really resembles the wilderness, doesn't it? It can be rocky and barren and like you're just figuring out how do you find even two pennies to pinch, right? Some days, all right? You're just trying to make ends meet, trying to keep one foot in front of the other. And here's the point, I think, of what we can glean from Psalm 23 is this, that in the land that lacks everything, or it appears it lacks everything, it will become the land that lacks nothing. When you're with the good shepherd, you will not lack anything. That's what we can see from this. It looks like there's nothing. Man, how can you survive in this world? But with a good shepherd, if you have a good shepherd, he will always look out for your best interest. Okay? So this is the important thing. You see, kind of a culmination is this, that for the sheep, the shepherd is everything. For the sheep, the shepherd is everything. That's your everything. As a sheep, you know, if a sheep wanders off, talking with Skip, he used to watch over 60 sheep growing up, and you're probably glad those days are over. But those sheep, they can have a mind of their own. They go and they wander, and it's constantly working. But, you know, if a sheep realizes it, that shepherd that's under him, that shepherd is everything to them. Even so, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our shepherd, he should be our everything. We should be careful not to think that we can live our life however we want in whatever way we want and think that we can survive on our own. We can do even Christian life. We can do church. We can do whatever in our own strength. I don't know about you, but the more and more I've known the Lord since I was just a little child, but the more and more I see this in my own life, how daily dependent I am of the Good Shepherd. This is something that each and every one of us must face, that if we think that we have it all or we can do it all, we're going to fall flat. We're going to wander. We're going to stray. We need to keep our eyes and we need to keep ourselves close to the Good Shepherd. So with that kind of as a recap of the first couple of verses, it starts out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, is the big question as we begin with, is the Lord your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Like I said, this is often read at funerals and other ways to be encouraged, things like that, or maybe as a memory verses, but it says the Lord is my shepherd. Look at that emphasis, this, that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, in that culture and in a lot of other religions today, those gods or deities that they serve, those are distant or vindictive gods that, you know, they like to kind of mess with their people, if you will. If you ever study Greek mythology, man, it's just a mess. Okay, it's a pantheon. Everyone's getting at each other. Look at Indian pantheology as well. It's a bizarre system. It really is, and it's really kind of an oppressive system when you think about that. But when you really realize who our shepherd is, the Lord himself, that the Lord is not just the shepherd, I pray you can say today on your confession of faith that the Lord really is, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. And the idea here of wanting here is really the idea of I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything. I will not be in need. This is the point of this. In that he provides for our needs. How does God provide for our needs? It says here in the second verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And again, we have this picture in our mind. You think of maybe the sheep of New Zealand or whatever, or Wisconsin or South Dakota, I guess. I guess in some ways, South Dakota would be similar to Israel. There's, you know, depending where what part of the state you're in. But nonetheless, in Israel, in the Judean hills where David would have watched over the sheep, it would have been like this. It was there, grass was there, feed was there, but you would have to always be on the move, okay? To lie down in green pastures has the idea, again, that he would make us, actually the idea is, makes us to lie down. He invites us to lie down in lovely places, similar to how a waiter seats us at a table. It's God's invitation. Come and dine with me. I will serve you, okay? And so in that, these green pastures, these are pastures of the Hebrew is very specific. It talks about really tender new grass. Like when grass has just sprung up, okay? That's what the sheep go after, and that's the best of it. And again, we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago that God's blessings are not leftovers. He doesn't give you leftover blessings. He doesn't give you leftover food. He gives you the best. That is a good shepherd. Okay? Now, if you come to my house, yeah, we might have leftovers for lunch today. You're welcome to have it. But you know what? If you come, I'm going to serve you. My wife and I will serve you. Okay? The best. By the way, if you want to come over, let me know. All right? We'll do that. We'll put on some good steaks. All right. Enough said. With the sheep, though, they need to be always on the move. Because why? They're going to eat that supply, and you'll have to move on. And the same thing is this. Shepherds take their sheep out in the wilderness in long distances because why? They're always looking for that next patch of grass, that next area of food where they can eat. So a shepherd, keep this in mind, keeps his sheep moving to green pastures. You don't stay in one spot forever. Now, there's going to come a time, we're going to see it at the end. Yes, we will abide in the house of the Lord forever. We'll have everything we need. But in this life, I don't know about you, but we are constantly moving. We are constantly growing. And this is the thing I challenge us today is when we stay close to the shepherd, that we should grow in him, grow in his word, grow in fellowship, grow in our love for the Lord. Because why? The moment you stop growing, what happens? You die. That's the point. There's a lot of Christians, you're not growing. Guess what? Your spiritual life is shrunk. You're not growing. Grow, stay in his word, pray, stay close to the shepherd. Be in church, have this fellowship, worship and serve the Lord. And in that you grow. We did a whole series actually this past fall on growing in Christ, what that means, first steps for believers. And really believers of not just when you just get saved, but every age, is that we should always have a concept of growing. I need to grow. Daily get in the word. How many of you were, you know, this is Sunday, we're supposed to be in the word of God. But I pray that every day you're in the word of God, somehow, some way. All right? Have a time of prayer. Have a place of prayer. Have a place where you're growing in that. So this is the image that we have, again, lying down in green pastures. And the second part is he lead us besides still waters. And the idea of still waters here is this. It's still meaning not like stagnant. It's really restful, comforting waters is the idea. You see, sheep will not drink from fast-flowing streams. Rather, the good shepherd will simply lead us to the waters of rest. You know, the good shepherd, he leads you to those waters of rest. You know what this should challenge us to do? Trust the shepherd. Trust the shepherd. His way is best. And this is something that we should understand. In knowing Jesus Christ, his ways are always best. So with that, the good shepherd, he feeds and he leads his sheep. And for the shepherd, or for the sheep, the shepherd is everything, like we mentioned before. We receive the greatest care when we follow the shepherd. So my challenge is this, is kind of a review from the past couple of weeks, is stay close to Jesus, the shepherd, because the good shepherd cares for you. Praise God for a caring shepherd that we have. So now we come to verse 3. We come to verse 3, and it says here, he restoreth my soul. Now, there's a lot of different thoughts we have. And let's just look at some general application of here. It says here that my shepherd here, and I want you to think, when you talk about the Lord, my shepherd, this is kind of like this psalm here. I want you to see this, especially the first really four or three and a half verses, if you will. This is really a personal testimony. This is what God has done for me and what he is doing for me. He feeds me. He leads me, he brings us to sight, he nourishes us, okay? And now he restores my soul. So this is a personal testimony. Yes, of David, but I pray this is your testimony as well, okay? It says here, my shepherd, what does he do? He nourishes and refreshes our soul. That's the idea of restoration here. He nourishes and refreshes my soul. And this is really talking about our spiritual condition, okay? In this, think of it this way, I am continually refreshed as I obediently follow the good shepherd. I am continually refreshed when I am obediently following the good shepherd. With this, I think it's important to understand that sometimes when people read this, they think, well, I pray that God will provide for my needs or my wants and my desires. I pray that he gives us, you know, me that Ferrari I've always wanted, or you know, whatever comes to your mind, whatever desire comes to your mind. But here's the thing. God has not promised to always supply our physical needs in this life. He hasn't promised to always supply our physical needs, but he will always supply what is necessary for the believer's spiritual well-being. Let me say that again. He will always supply what is necessary for the believer's spiritual well-being. God, my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. We know this, okay? So when we think of being restored, we think of the sheep who are nourished, especially that those that have been to the green pastures and those that have been beside the still waters. This is how he nourishes us. But now let's dig a little deeper in this. And I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I was talking to someone here recently, exactly who Charles Spurgeon is. Well, I decided to throw up a picture for you. So now you know what he looks like, okay? If you never know, he was called the Prince of Preachers, okay? Well, maybe we'll do maybe come on like a Wednesday or Sunday night or something. Maybe we'll do a little study on Charles Spurgeon. He's an interesting fellow. But this is what he said concerning this passage here in his, if you want to get a little commentary on the book of Psalms, The Treasure of David by Charles Spurgeon is just rich. All kinds of teaching in there, good teaching by Spurgeon. But this is what he said concerning verse 3. He says this, when the soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When it is sinful, he sanctifies it. When it is weak, he strengthens it. Are any of us low in grace? Do we feel that our spirituality is at its lowest ebb? He who turns the ebb into the flood can soon restore our soul. He goes on to say, pray to him then for the blessing. Restore thou me, thou shepherd of my soul. Make that your prayer. Restore me, my shepherd. He is the one who restores our soul. You see, our soul is needy. Our spiritual life is very needy, more than you realize. How much we need the grace of the shepherd who restores our soul. But I'm going to kind of share to you from a deeper, let's take this thought a little deeper. Ready? So when we think about restoring our soul, there's another way that God restores our soul, okay? And this is kind of like in the Hebrew here, the idea of restoration here is really the idea of bringing my soul back is the idea. We can say in English, like, I feel like myself again. Have you ever had one of those days like, man, you're just feeling rough and all that? Maybe you take some vitamin C or whatever, something like that that'll help you. And like the next day you get up from a nap, and you say, I'm refreshed, I'm restored, I feel like myself again. Okay, that's kind of the general idea, but perhaps David wrote this maybe after recovering from great stress. We know he had a lot of troubles, persecutions. He had a lot of enemies, okay? And maybe when he was relieved, he was restored in that way. We think of illness, maybe he suffered as well. We know that, yes, times of sin, that he was, he said, cast out that Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, renew in me a right spirit. And he said that in Psalm 51. But here's another idea. And if you've ever read the book of A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller, I think I mentioned that book before. It's a classic. It's a good read. He himself was a shepherd in East Africa. And he, after watching sheep for many, many years, he kind of looks at this restoration in this way. And Skip, do you know what's happening here with that sheep? What do you call that? Exactly. He's a dying sheep. In other words, he's a cast sheep. He's a cast sheep, a sheep that tumbles over, whatever, their head up. A sheep by themselves cannot get themselves back up. If you leave a sheep this way, he's going to, as Skip said, he's going to die. He's a dead sheep, okay? Only the shepherd can come and restore the sheep, put him back on his feet, care for him, nourish him, and then he can go on to hopefully stay closer to the shepherd so that don't happen again. But sheep, as according to Master Skip, dumb as rocks, they need the shepherd. The sheep maybe not realize. So this is the idea that this cast sheep, God restores us as a cast sheep. How many times we have fallen and literally we can't get back up? We're like in a hole where it's a man, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what's going on. God, I need you. Restore me. Restore my soul. Lord, bring me back. Restore me. It says later in the book of Psalm, chapter 42, it mentions a couple times, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why is my soul disquieted within me? And the answer is this, hope thou in God. That's the answer. How do we get restored by the Good Shepherd? Is by placing our hope and our trust in him, our expectant hope. By the way, will our Good Shepherd come to us and come to our aid? Absolutely. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us in this condition. We simply have to trust in him. The Hebrew word here is yeshuv. It has the idea of really turning around something or returning or restoring is the idea. And so this really brings us into the next phrase, which is this: he leads me into the paths of righteousness. This actually goes together beautifully. And so as this happens here, the good shepherd, yes, he leads us and guides us in good ways. Because why? The good shepherd, he is always and only good. He's not going to leave you on a poor path is the idea, okay? And so when you think about this, though, Israel, remember, think of this in context. David's writing this concerning his observation of the sheep, but also as a shepherd over the people, talking about the nation of Israel. And through Israel's history, Israel went astray so many times. I want you to turn with him in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Hold your place in Psalm 23. We'll be back there in a minute. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I want you to see here very interestingly how prone Israel was to going astray. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 6 in verse 16. How did Israel go astray? Look at this imagery that's here. And by the way, Jeremiah, he lived in a city called Anatot, which is actually a little bit east of Bethlehem, a little bit farther into the Judean wilderness. And so Jeremiah had a kind of a, think of his back window, had a view of the wilderness, okay, that we've been talking about. But look with me in verse 16. It says here, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." You see, the children of Israel, as a nation, what did they do? They went about their own way, and when God offered them the best path, the path of righteousness, what did they do? They refused to follow the shepherd. That's what's happening, okay? Go with me a little bit farther in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Jeremiah 31 says, "And at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword after the destruction from Babylon, okay, they found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest." And so God gave them grace in the wilderness, okay? And then it says here in verse 3, I love this verse, "And the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The good shepherd in the wilderness keeps his sheep close to him. He beckons them to follow him. He calls them to follow him. But sheep, they go astray. Look on with me now in verse 21. Of chapter 31 here. It says here, "Set thee up waymarks in high heaps." In other words, set markers on the trail in the wilderness. This is going to play really important here in a second. "Set up waymarkers, waymarks make thee high heaps. Set thine heart towards the highway, even the way which thou wentest, and turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these cities." He's calling them to come back. Set the markers so you know where to go. You know where the path to go, okay? And then he challenges them. He says this to Israel, verse 22, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, and a woman shall compass a man." So the idea here is this in verse 22. He calls them out. He calls them a backsliding daughter. In other words, that they have not returned to the Lord. In other words, they're going astray. They're going out of the path of righteousness is the idea. So think of a shepherd leading a sheep, and he calls them, come, follow me, stay close to me, stay on my trails. He says, even set up markers so you don't get lost on the trails is the idea. But how long are you? You're keeping on going away. You're going, and the idea here, the backsliding daughter is this, you're going in circles is the idea. You're going in circles. Here's the thing. God is saying in these passages that we just read in Jeremiah chapter 6 and also chapter 31, that God is promising that he will heal the foolish circling of his sheep, of Israel, because why? He knows the path of righteousness. He knows that. And what is the goal of the path of righteousness? It's his glory for his name's sake. This is the idea that we have. So let's we've read these verses. Let's see what this looks like. Go back with me now to Psalm 23. And I think this is a passage of scripture you probably think, man, I never saw it that way. This is why I'm taking you to Israel today, out in the wilderness, okay? He leads us in paths of righteousness. Now, in our minds, and some people have attempted to teach this as saying, he will lead us in the straight paths of righteousness. And we think of a path as like this path like down the aisle, you know, something straight, something easy to go on. But how does that look, though, in the wilderness? It's a little different. This is a path of righteousness, okay? So when you look here, you look at the sheep that are following here, and it might be hard to see. By the way, if you want, go back and watch the service online. You probably see it a little bit better on your computer screen. But if you can make it out, there are these little lines. You see the sheep that are going across. They're walking across these very narrow passageways, these very narrow paths. I think some of you hunters, you know, you look out for the deer trails, right, out in the woods. They're little narrow ways. It's not big enough for us usually, but we know that's kind of the path where the deer are going. In the wilderness, there's a path that the shepherd is taking them, and you see these mountains that are there. To get up to the top of the mountain or to, let's say, better grazing area, the shepherd is going to take the sheep on these little sheep paths, if you will. They're small, and you can see how they crisscross and going up and around, and this is important. As the sheep do that, they're going to go basically around, and it appears that you're going in circles. That's going to play really important here in just a second. So why should we stay on the path? I'm going to give you a little testimony here. When I was in high school, my first trip to Israel, our group was down in Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls are found. And on that trip, we had, some of you might know the name Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. His son Jonathan was on that trip. He and I were friends and got together on that. Anyways, when we got to Qumran, our tour guide said, here, I'll teach you. Aaron, why don't you and Jonathan go hiking for a little bit? Just go up the trail a little bit. He should have probably thought better of that. So Jonathan Hamilton and I, you can see Jonathan there in the picture. He's now with the Lord, okay? But anyways, Jonathan and I decided to start hiking. We went along the trail. It's a clearly marked trail. There's markers along the way to kind of know where to go, the next step. But you know what we saw? Oh, man, this area looks really cool over here. Let's go check out this area. So we get off the trek a little bit, and before we knew it, it's like, where's the markers? And we're like, how do we get down? And we saw this big, long, you can see how it goes down. We thought, well, let's climb down that and get to the highway, and then the bus can pick us up. That was our thinking. And anyways, I saw our group, my dad was in the group too, and they're waving at, yelling at us, get back here, get back here. And we could not find, it took us a few minutes to find our way back to the markers, to the trail. We read earlier in Jeremiah 31 about putting markers on the trail. Way markers, putting stops, identifiers, knowing where to go. God has graciously put markers in our way to help us. He guides us through his word. He puts people in our lives to guide us to truth as well, ultimately pointing to him and to his glory. You know what, Jonathan and I, we got a little bit of a tongue lashing from the tour guide when we got back because, yeah, we were wrong. It sounded good at the moment, right? And I tell you what, when you get off the path that God has, this sounds good for the moment, right? Sounds good. But what does the Bible say? There are a way that is, seems right to a man, what? But the end thereof are the ways of death. How important, we need to stay on God's trail, on the path that he leads us on, the paths of righteousness, or really, and this is going to be interesting, really the circles of righteousness. We're going to see what that means here in a second. But here's the thing, is this, all we like sheep have gone astray, right? We're like that. We're reminded in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the good shepherd. Remember, there was that, he had 100 sheep, one went astray, and the good shepherd went and found it. So each sheep is valuable to the good shepherd. We also see here from Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. How do we get back on the trail that God has given us? It's by keeping close to his word. Being close to him, very practical in all this, okay? But the Bible also says here, in this should be our testimony as well, in 1 Peter 2:25, for ye are a sheep going astray, but now return to the Lord, or to the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. He's our shepherd, praise God for that. So I want us to kind of go back a little bit more. I'm going to go back a few slides here, right here. And going back to this passage that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word for path here is very unusual. Like I said, in our minds, we're thinking of this this path here, a straight path is the idea, but that's not what the Hebrew or the geography is telling us either. The word for pass is unusual. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word is ma'agal, which means circle, to go in circles. So it appears as if David is saying that God is leading him round in circles, is the idea. Here's the point. Have you ever noticed many times in your life that things seem so familiar, like a deja vu? Hey, man, it looks like I've been here before, okay? Maybe you're trying to drive around, and guys, we don't ask our wives for directions, right? We know where to go, right? We don't need a map. We're good. GPS is wrong. I know that, right? And we kind of go around a circle. So wait a minute. Didn't we pass the street here just a few minutes ago? All right. You can pick at us later, ladies. Okay. But nonetheless, many times in life, it looks like we're going around in circles. And so if you're going around in circles, this is the idea. Patterns repeat. So if we are walking with God under his care and supervision as he is our good shepherd, we are growing in a spiritual pattern of growth. This is the idea. It may seem like you're back in the same place, but you're not. You're actually up a level. The view looks familiar, but you've grown. And that's the idea. As the shepherd leads his sheep up each path or circle of righteousness, you get a better view. And you might not realize that change at a moment, but all of a sudden you see, man, look what God has done, right? I think sometimes we have our kids or grandkids, you know, we might not see them for maybe a few weeks or a month. And what is almost the first thing we say when we see them? Look how much you've grown. Like I said, when someone says that to me nowadays, look how much you've grown. No, don't go there, okay? That has a different meaning as you grow older. But nonetheless, this is what God does in our lives. So many times he brings us on these paths and we feel like we're going in circles. But God is doing this. Why? There's a purpose to it. Sometimes here is this. Sometimes God takes us several times around the block for us to learn something he's trying to teach us. The Hebrew says that God literally leads us in circles or cycles of righteousness for his name's sake. Like I said, when you translate that literally, it doesn't come across as well. But when you look at the imagery from Judea, the Judean hills, you can kind of see what David is talking about. With that in mind, I want us to be aware of this. When we're going on these paths, you know what, in my mind, I'm thinking this, and I've been there to this area. Man, let's take a shortcut. Let's just go up a few steps, and we'll get to the next level. But let's beware of shortcuts. Beware of shortcuts. Why? Here's a great example. You remember King David, when God promised he'd become a king? King Saul was still there. By the way, Sunday nights, including this night, we're doing a study on the life of King Saul, okay? But remember that God had David anointed to be the next king, but it was several years before David would actually assume the kingship of Israel. King Saul was there. Remember, they were battling against each other. Saul was after David all the time. And there were opportunities. Remember that David could have taken a shortcut to become king. When Saul was vulnerable, he could have killed him. He could have had his men do it, whatever. And then he would have, and rightfully so, become the king, next king. But David knew what? I will not put my hand against God's anointed. In other words, David did not take shortcuts. Even in our spiritual life, folks, we need to be careful not to take shortcuts. You know, be careful of those who advertise, you know, do these 7 steps and you're going to become the best Christian ever. Okay? Or you look at those diet plans, you know, 10 easy ways to, you know, lose 50 pounds, you know, whatever it is. Be honest with you, it sounds great on the surface, but when you dig into it, say, oh man, it's just more complicated the more you get into it. So here's the idea. Spiritually speaking, beware of shortcuts. Beware of shortcuts. Follow the Lord, who is our good shepherd, on the cycles and circles and the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He is committed to our growth and our journey with him so that he gets the glory, not us. See, when we take a shortcut, guess what? We can say, hey, look what I did. I found a new way, right? Okay, but this is all for his glory. He wants us to grow in righteousness as he gradually conforms us to the likeness of the image of his dear son for his namesake. And that leads us to the last part of this here, and that is this. It is for his namesake. You see, the paths of righteousness will always lead us to the right goal, God's glory. The cycles of righteousness will lead. Where is God leading us? It's for his glory. Is the idea. His guidance for us, as his guidance as the shepherd, is for his glory and for our good according to his plan. Okay? So keep that in mind. There is a goal in God leading you as the shepherd. That's his glory and for your good. Never forget that. We can be confident then of the path that God leads us on. He guides us on. Why? Because his name, his reputation is at stake as the faithful shepherd. Our God is faithful. He does not abandon us. He does not break his promises. He keeps them. And he will never abandon his sheep. He will restore our soul. He will lead us in the path, the cycles, the circles of righteousness. And he'll do it for his namesake, for his glory. In this, the simple message of today, the point of this message is this: you can trust in the guidance of the good shepherd. Trust in the guidance of the good shepherd. Never forget that. No matter when you think that, man, I can't figure out how to do life right now, guess what? God's there. He's with you. His word is with you. It's true. He will guide you for that. If you go through this and, man, I wish I could do a shortcut. Man, I wish I could do this. I talked to Aaron Zachman on Friday, by the way. He sends his greetings. And by the way, things are going progressing for this summer. Hopefully he'll be coming. But anyways, Aaron's right towards the end of his, just a couple months left of his degree, getting his degree in college. You know, it'd be easy for him to take shortcuts, to figure out, I don't need to take this test or whatever. It could be easy for him to do that. But no, I'd say focus on the goal. Do it one step at a time. Be faithful. Okay, then that's going to help him out down the road. So the thing is this, and I told Aaron, trust the good shepherd. Trust the guidance of the good shepherd. And I say that for us today. No matter what you may be experiencing in life right now, no matter what direction you may be taking, or you're looking for what is that next step that God wants me to do, trust him as he takes you along the path or the circle or the cycle of righteousness. And it'll all be for his good and for his glory. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. Stay close to him. Trust him. Because why? The Lord, he's my shepherd. And I pray he's yours as well. Trust him today.